Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Andreas Spitzauer, Head of Investor Relations, and I want to welcome you to the presentation of the full year results 2012 of KUKA. As a reminder, the conference is being recorded and will be available for replay on our homepage, www.kuka.com/investorrelations. You can find today's presentation there as well. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to KUKA's CEO, Dr. Till Reuter, and CFO, Mr. Monin.
Thank you, Andreas. Dear ladies and gentlemen, I also, Peter Monin, welcome you to this presentation of our final results of the year 2012 for KUKA. Was just doing some jokes about the model here, about this little KUKA robot. In the morning, we had in Munich the Agilus, so the new GI product, at the presentation. A little heavy because its weight is some 60-70 kilos. Was difficult to carry it over to Frankfurt, however. So today we had also some product presentation at the meeting in the morning. But first of all, I would like to present to you briefly our highlights of the record year 2012. Then my colleague, Peter Monin, will provide you a more detailed explanation of the financial results 2012. Following the details, I will present our operative focus and our strategic objectives for the coming years. But let's start with the guidance and about what we have done in 2012. In 2012, we managed to achieve continued profitable growth and new record levels for orders received, for revenue, and for EBIT. Orders received in the group improved by 22% to around 1.9 billion. Revenue rose continuously in 2012, totaling over 1.7 billion for the whole year. For the first time in our company's history, the EBIT surpassed the 100 million threshold, growing disproportionately to 110 million. We are particularly pleased by the development of the EBIT margin in both divisions. We achieved our target margins in both divisions. Robotics reached 10% or more in every quarter. Systems reached 5% in Q3 and Q4 2012. Carried by the operative performance, we also managed to significantly increase our earnings after tax at group level to 56 million. Particularly pleasing is the fact that our result also had an extremely positive impact on the free cash flow. Supported by additional specific measures, such as having free cash flow as one target in the incentivation program of our people, this value rose from 7 million in 2011 to 77 million in 2012. As a result of the free cash flow and the earnings, we have achieved one of our primary corporate goals in 2012, restoring the ability for KUKA AG to pay dividends based on positive earnings and positive free cash flow. We, as management, together with the supervisory board, are thus recommending to the annual shareholders meeting a dividend of 0.20 per share for the year 2012. It's to be noted that we generally consider the payment of the dividend as important. However, we have some kind of target set, where we have to consider the payment of dividend as important. However, we are also concerned of strengthening our competitiveness in the long-term future, and therefore increasingly have to invest into R&D and also globally. But I think it's important that  2012, being the best year at KUKA, all shareholders get a certain share, and therefore it's important for us that we propose or recommend the shareholders meeting to pay a dividend of 0.20. We have a little more details later on the dividend payment and how we see dividend policy in the future, but I think it's a very important sign that we are back on dividend track and pay some dividends to shareholders. As the figures show, we have kept our promises and our word and exceeded our guidance for revenue and EBIT for 2012. Numbers are one, but we also managed to achieve a second very important corporate goal in 2012, expanding market share. The figures of the German Engineering Federation, VDMA, for 2012 were characterized by a very positive development in the first half of the year, but in the second half of the year, the European crisis in particular had a negative impact on demand, resulting in a decline for the full year, both for VDMA as a whole and also for the robotic segmentation of VDMA. Fuka was able to buck this trend and perform significantly better than the market. Major factors are here clearly our strong customer portfolio in the automotive business and the solid growth outside of Europe. Looking at the current business year, we did have a good start in 2013. We also see that we are not immune to negative influences. However, we don't see anything currently in our books, and we see a strong momentum in the automotive business, and we don't see any significant slowdown in customer demand. We do have a high order backlog of 900 million, which gives us a high degree of visibility for 2013. Next slide, which I think is very important, it shows the development of Fuka over the last years. Fuka, coming from automotive, we talk about GI later, but Fuka also European, German-based, and you can see on this chart that the share of the Americas, America, North America, and also of China and Asia is increasing year on year, and that the dependency on Europe is only 50% today. In 2012, we were able to record considerable growth in all important areas for Fuka, in Europe, North America, and China. The development in Europe, our largest market, is particularly satisfying. An appreciable increase in orders received. At the same time, our dependence, as mentioned, has been reduced to 50% through total orders received. We were profiting in the last year from orders from our premium manufacturers, from Volkswagen, from Daimler, from BMW. These customers are investing heavily in their established European sites and are increasingly turning into automation to have two things. One, to have an answer to their bigger variety of models, so they have a much broader range of models, but they also have to maintain cost efficient and have to invest in automation. Key topics in respect, clearly, cycle time reduction and platform strategy. In North America, Fuka is profiting on the one hand, for example, from increased production of capacities in the U.S. I think that's clearly one part that the wage increase in China has some case of impact, that the production footprint globally is somewhat of reshuffled, that production is some way also shuffled back to the U.S. And I think Americas and U.S. are also benefiting that some production is also moved to Mexico, which has been established itself as part of low-cost production alternative to Asia in America. In China, the demand of the total market for robotic-based automation was in 2012 relatively weak. Due to change of government and weakness in individual markets, for example, a segment like construction industry was weak in 2012, we only show growth from 164 to 200 million. But according to initial market estimates, however, we also managed to improve our market share here and could show significant growth on the year-on-year comparison. Robotics was able to increase the market share from 16 to close to 20, 19% in China. The orders received for the group are 11% for China, for whole Fuka. However, it's important to note that there are only direct sales. So China to China. We have also some export sales from Germany, which means we have additional 3 to 5% out of Germany into China, which we do not count because we only count the local sales. As you all know, one of our most important goals is to increase the share in Asia, especially in China, further with new products, with our investment in personnel and also in our investment in a new production and sales center, which I will tell you later. I would like to hand over to Peter for the financials, and he will pass you through to the details of the numbers.
Good afternoon also from my side. I will now guide you through the highlights of the annual report and will start with the sales list. Revenue growth continued throughout the group in 2012, driven by the strong dynamic development in orders received in all quarters. Business year, revenue were up 21% on the previous year to 1.74 billion, and we have thus set a new record. Some minutes ago, Till Reuter mentioned our order intake of around 1.9 billion euro. If you now combine the order intake with the revenues, you will get the book-to-bill ratio, and it's 1.09. That means our order intake is 9% higher than the bill for bookings, and that indicates some growth potential. This development is based on a generally strong demand in automotive. Thanks to our outstanding market positions with the premium manufacturers like Daimler, Volkswagen, BMW, and Ford, we have customers who gained market shares in 2012 and are consolidating their competitive advantages by means of investment in efficiency and quality. Robotics and systems worked at almost full capacity in 2012. In robotics, we are now trying to meet growth in China by expanding our assembly capacity there. Our goal is to have the value added where our customers are located. That has two advantages. First, we can reduce the time to market, and second, we reduce the FX risks because the costs occur mainly in the same currency than the revenues occur. At the same time we are expanding in China our production capacity, we are expanding the capacity in Augsburg and in Hungary for the control cabinets too. All in all, we are aiming to achieve an annual assembly capacity of around 25,000 robots until the end of the current year. Total investment for that is a little over 10 million euro. As you can see from this relatively low amount, it is important to us to keep the invested capital and fixed assets as low as possible. On chart six now, you will see the profitability, and one of the main steering parameters for us is the EBIT margin. Profitability has also continued to improve. In every quarter of last year, the EBIT margin was higher than in the same quarter of the previous year. The overall EBIT margin for the full year rose to 6.3% compared with the 5.1% in the year before. Both divisions have contributed to this development. Chart 7 now shows some key figures for quarter 4 and for the full year 2012 compared with the prior year. Gross margin, shown as gross operating result in percent of the revenue, for the group rose to 22.2%, and the year before it stood at 19.6%. The improved margin shows the benefit we achieved, for example, through process improvements in the systems segment or successful launch of new products for robotics. The 22% might be a good orientation mark for how margins could develop in the current year. The indirect costs, that means marketing, R&D, general administrative expenses, and other expenses and income, rose slightly higher than the rate of revenue increase, due in particular to in systems, the expansion of the hub system to boost procurement from low-wage countries, and we have also further strengthened our global presence in the systems segment. For robotics, it's mainly an expansion of capacities in the general industry. There we increased sales. CapEx in 2012 totaled around 43 million compared with 30 million in 2011. Our strong investments in the field of R&D can be seen in the correspondingly high portion of intangible assets in the investment. The figure here is 39%. The primary focuses of development were the lightweight robot and the KR Agilus small robot. Going forward, CapEx will correspond to a 2.5 to 3.5 bandwidth of revenue. This already takes into consideration the expenditures I mentioned before in expanding capacities in Augsburg, China, and Hungary. If we now look into R&D, then, KUKA stands out by means of innovation and quality. For this reason, we invest heavily in R&D. We are also expecting an increase in expenditure in the current year to a total of around 50 million euros. For new products mainly, and the further development of the LightCycle concept. Financial result improved 5.4 million on the previous year to minus 12.8 million. This is primarily attributable to the repayment of the convertible bond in November 2011. In the previous year, the interest expenditure for the convertible was 4.7 million and had to be taken into consideration in  2011. Earnings after taxes rises to 56 million compared with the 30 million in 2011. The workforce rose 10% to 7,264 employees at the end of the current of 2012, driven by the strong increase in orders received. In robotics mainly, we increased the workforce for production and for sales force, especially in GI, as I mentioned before, and in systems, it was an increase in body and bike production mainly. Equally satisfying is the increase in equity capital, which rose by 45 million to 298 million at the end of 2012. This gives us an equity ratio of 26.2% and is another major step towards the target ratio of 30%. Chart eight now shows the target margins and the look into the two segments, robotics and systems. Both contributed to the strong development in 2012 and achieved record values. As I mentioned before, we're able to post a year-on-year increase in every quarter 2012, if you compare it to the quarter ended the year before. Both divisions had improved margins and could reach their respective target margins, which we announced in 2009, of 10% for robotics, 5% for systems. Robotics reached an average of 10.8% over the full year, and systems of 4.7%. Chart 9 now shows that KUKA is on a robust and solid footing. What do we mean with that? We track the development of our end customer markets and their investment confidence closely. And that we are focusing on cost efficiency, that we can see on the left-hand side. You see the revenue increase compared to the number of employees in the high-cost countries, and you see that the volume of the business rose by 21%, but the workforce we only increased by 7%. In combination with successful cost reductions in 2009 and 2010, and the ensuing efficiency measures, which are being continuously updated and have high priority for us, we have considerably reduced the EBIT break-even. This now is around 30% below current revenue levels. The liability structure of our balance sheet is solid and set to remain so in the longer term. In 2012, we focused on improving our free cash flow. As a result of that, we could change our net debt position into a net cash position of 43 million at the end of the year. Then at the beginning of 2013, we successfully issued a convertible bond, which ensures a highly attractive long-term interest level for us, and under normal conditions will enable an early repayment of the high-yield bond in November 2014. KUKA, therefore, is in a position to improve the financial results and boost At the same time, we see further clear potential for development in 2013. We see the high level of order backlog, 909 billion euro, show that for the first half of the year we have some security. And in addition to that, we see high customer demand. So no signs of a crisis. And overall, we have put KUKA on a solid footing and set the company on a path for further profitable growth. Having provided these details, I now hand you back to Till Reuter.
Thank you, Peter. I think it's numbers speak for themselves, and I think as you mentioned also in the start in the 2013 was like a stable start, and we'll tell you later some ideas about how the first 3 months are going well. But I think besides the numbers, most important is clearly that we have also increased our market position and our market share. And this you can see on this chart, that the numbers which are preliminary figures from IFR. However, you can see that we increased the market share in robotics from 13.8 to 14.4, so another increase in the segment of articulated robots. I think what helped is clearly in 2010 the launch of the Quantec product family. You know, we launched Quantec in 2010 Automatica product family with new controller. The Quantec has set new industrial standards and gave us also the wise towards the competition and really a competitive edge. This clearly is one of the measures or the ingredients for our increased market share. Clearly, we see further potential of increasing our market share through new products, which I come to it later. And I think clearly that makes KUKA, it's the people and it's innovative products. And I think we need innovative products, as just mentioned. In the morning, we were showing the Agilus, so the new small robot, which is particular for the industrial market. And I will give you some more indications on what we are looking at the industrial side. Looking at KUKA for the last years and looking into the future, I think it's important that since 2009, we as a team have succeeded in restoring KUKA and in transforming KUKA to where we are today, and we have plans for the future. The tasks we faced in 2009 and 10 were clearly clear, but they also albeit were difficult. So we had to return to financial stability and the restoration of the company and get back to operational flexibility. Now, these 2 years, in 11 and 12, it was most important that we, based on this goal or the achievement of having successful turnaround, going towards the road of profitable growth. Clearly, from Europe, we went much more global. We added on global presence. Global presence does mean that also our team is much more global and globally oriented. So we have today in systems, for example, we have added team members in Europe. We have CEO and CFO are both from America. We have added team in Europe. We have a stable team in Asia. So we have all three hubs on good footing. We have the increased product innovation with Quantec and Agilus. And also what we did start in 2009 as a purely cost program, we were increasing the efforts here in the way of an efficiency program. What's now coming in the next 3 years, and to give you more details on this, we intend in the next 3 years, from 2013 to 2015, on the following topics. Clearly, China is for the market, which is very important, and China has developed to be clearly with Japan to the biggest robotic market, and we see that it will be a driving force also for the future. And seeing the share which we talked about a couple of minutes ago, where today for KUKA as a whole it's 11%, for robotics it's more close to 19%. We do believe that this market will grow much faster, that China will be a bigger part in the future. The industry, let me maybe go one step back. 2 years ago we were really wanted to grow in GI faster than automotive. But then we had seen that automotive business was picking up so strong that we, at KUKA, we could nearly keep the pace of automotive and general industry. So the industry stake is today 27% compared to 29 to 30% 2 years ago, which shows that we had this 20% growth rate in automotive, but we nearly kept the same speed in industry. If you look back, for example, robotics was posting its revenue in 2009 of $330 million. Today we have 740, and approximately 50% is in the industry. So today we have an industry business which is as big as the whole business was 2009. Just to compare, no, in the last 2 years we're very, very much also depending on automotive picking up. However, we kept our GI stake nearly stable. So the team in GI did a great job over the last years. Product innovation, I will show you more info of innovation, what's up to come. And I think product innovation is where we are close to the customers, where we help the customer to be better and to work on their processes for quality and for innovation. And clearly, as started, efficiency is part of the culture, and efficiency will help us to also achieve our target mark. We did set our standard 3 years ago with 10 and 5, and when we were preaching the hurdles of 10 and 5%, clearly, the first question from your side, which we were expecting, is clearly, okay, now you're past 10%, what's the next margin? And for robotics, it's 12% midterm, and for systems, it's above 5%, so we have a 5% plus. And clearly, efficiency program is an ongoing task to also not only have it on the top line, but also on the bottom line to achieve the target margin. Now going into specific areas. On the chart, you can see on the left part our new plant in Shanghai. Really can see it by the color, but also shows that it's our own plant, and we will be in this towards the end of 2013. The location is fully with us, so no partners in the location, and it will enable us to have reduction of delivery time and to be closer to our customers, and also shows our Chinese business partner that we are the lead in the future of robotic-based automation in China. The growth potential in China is enormous. I usually travel 5 to 6 times a year to China, and I think it's very important to be close to this market and to understand the requirements of the market. According to estimates of IFR, which I already mentioned, is Japan and China will be the biggest market, and the assumption is that China will be the biggest market, being bigger than Japan. An important driving force after the automation and the robotic business in China is, as it is in Europe and US, also the automotive production. And the automotive production is set to continue very rapidly, and the numbers we have is for approximately 20 million cars today, going towards 30 and close to 40 million over the next year. Due to the market-leading position in this as hooker for automotive, so we are number one in automotive, we expect to see further business from the Chinese automotive OEMs. As the contract with Great Wall shows, we have posted the contract in January, more than 300 industrial robots to Great Wall. Great Wall is the first Chinese automotive manufacturer today, or until this, we clearly had some single numbers of robots. However, the big numbers were with European and US OEMs, so it could be a catalyst for further contracts from Chinese OEMs, where we today don't see a huge number of robots. And also, when you look at the density of robots, we always talk about density between automotive and GI, where the factor we know is 8. Also, the density comparing China and Europe, you all see that Europe and US and Japan are factor 6 or even more if you compare Chinese automotive business and European automotive. I think there's something where an opportunity, if you talk about automotive Europe, automotive US, but also see the potential which we could have in automotive China, where we believe that we are well positioned to benefit from this increase, and the number of automation is today very low. Compare this revenue of almost 200 million in 2012. We're expecting that this is going to continue, and we see an increase of to more than 300 million to 2015. I personally believe that this number could be even higher because I'm a strong believer in automation in China, and the topics like quality, rising labor costs are really driving towards KUKA and our automation, robotic-based automation. Cell industry. Now, I would love to tell you we are even bigger at KUKA because you know, the automotive pace was really helpful over 2 years. We kept our GI stake nearly stable. When I would start 3 years ago, I wanted to grow faster than GI. We have done what is required. We have new products. We have the Agilus, so KUKA is coming from the heavy and the medium payloads. So we have now Agilus small payloads, so we have the full range from 6 kilos, Agilus 6 to 10, towards the 1.3 tons. So we have the product, we have invested in people, so we have more salespeople in the region. And we also have the incentive scheme prepared that people are running for GI. Automotive business, a key account business, so you're close to Daimler, Volkswagen, Audi, BMW, Ford, and the people which are in the headquarters, and you help to execute the contacts globally. GI is a local business, so people on the ground have to run for different applications. The share was 27% compared to 30% in 2011, but I have now a couple of applications and would like to share some of the market, just to give you some intro and how we see this market and give you a little bit more flavor on channel industry. If you talk about channel industry, it's different markets. And I think also we have different cyclicality in the market. For example, as mentioned, construction industry, where you have, for example, companies like Caterpillar, like Hua Heng, like other ones who are doing arc welding. If construction business is low, clearly this business is also doesn't have the biggest boost. What we see if you look through in food, food is a business you see on the upper side. It is you have carbon arm. Carbon arm allows you that the robot can have higher speed, less weight, higher speed you can drive. And food is an application which is extremely local. You cannot globalize food because food is then you have some dates which you have to deliver, and therefore food is a local business and it's also less cyclical, and we have a good position in food. And you know what you can see here, food is 5-axis robots, so it's clearly one of the markets which we are focusing on and we do see future growth. Electronics. On the electronics, please, you see here a bigger robot, however, electronics. Everything, if you talk about tablets, if you talk about laptops, you talk about Blackberries, which I do have here, you need to do some drilling on the Blackberries, you need some polishing and stuff. So all these functions are relevant, and the big electronic companies have to automate more and have to have their production automated. The Agilus is clearly an answer to this trend that the electronics, the growth electronics is further going on. And with Agilus, we can attack. Agilus, we are market followers, so it's not a product where we are new, and lightweight we are new, but Agilus clearly is built to go into electronics market. Plastic and machine tool are examples where you have industries, machine tool industry and plastic industry, extrusion machines or CNC machines, where one of these of the process is the unloading and loading, or loading and unloading of the machine. And today in the machine tool industry, only 1.5% of all machine tools in parts are loaded and unloaded by robots. In the plastic industry, the same, like you have to unload and load the machine for the next process, and that are clearly processes where cost is a big factor, and also where you can run 24 hours. So you don't need a shift. You don't have big change between the shifts. It really shows that it's an efficiency gain and that you can run 24 hours. Foundry is some example where you have a difficult environment. It's hot, so 1,000 degrees Celsius and more. And foundry is a piece where wherever it's getting difficult, dangerous for people, robotic-based automation can be a much advantage for the process. That you know can, that it's less burden for people, and we can help if the process is run also here much more efficiently. Arc welding, I mentioned, arc welding is very much also depending on construction industry. Whenever you see a trend in that the household industry is picking up, arc welding will also benefit. Aerospace and logistics. Let me look at aerospace a little bit. Aerospace is we have application business and systems for aerospace. Aerospace is today we talk about heavy automation. Heavy automation means that you have all the the machines fixed, and you move the wings and the body of the aircraft towards the machine. The trend is different. The trend is that we have flexible automation, and that the machines and the robots are going towards the wing and towards the aircraft body, which means you don't have to have big movements, which is much better for production and shows you that this is still an industry, you know, automotive, high degree of automation in the car, in the body in white, less automation in assembly and test and other areas, and in aerospace clearly also much lower degree of automation than automotive, and this shows the potential, for example, in aerospace. Logistics mobility, if you look about trends, and we come in a minute also to what we see in innovation. We did start at the industrial robotic, which is the Argolith, from 6 kilo to 1.3 ton. This robot has to work behind the fence to protect man and machine from each other. In the next stage, we are going to the lightweight robot. The lightweight robot, as you know, does have this ability, sensitive element, so once it stops once it hits the human being, and therefore it allows much closer cooperation between man and machine. And we're working together with Daimler on the man-machine cooperation, which would allow that man and machine work, for example, in a car body and work really close together. The next level, you have it without a fence, you have the haptics. And the next level, you have this all mobile, that you have robots which can do different tasks, have mobility element, and the combination of all three really allows much more areas of automation. And that there was, I just want to show you the potential. The potential is from pure cost topics, machine tool, loading, unloading, just substituting people, to dangerous environment, and then to quality topics, towards in the end future potential of robotics. We did invest in GI. Argolith is one example. You know, Argolith showing you in 2012 does mean we had to start in 2010 to have the product ready in 2012. We have added specialists in the most promising markets. So we look, for example, in China, we're looking at the logistics markets in arc welding, electronics, so we need experts to understand the application. And also we have to get invest already in service and product management, that we have the right basis for the GI growth in the future. What we see is that as you also know from the past, that the density in robotics in automotive is 8 times higher than in GI, so there is a big potential. We have today a market share of 450 plus million, and we want to grow GI business to over 700 million in the next 3 years. That means that's a task for the whole of Fuka. Today we have in robotics approximately 50% auto, 50% GI. In assistance, 80% auto and 20% GI. We want to grow the GI piece drastically over the next year. New product. Fuka, what is the heart of Fuka are the products, are the people, are in the end, how competitive can we be compared to our competitors, and our products are based on, it makes a difference on innovation, on quality, and clearly customer benefit. We concentrate on topics like energy efficiency, which comes along with weight, on user friendliness, and also of life cycle cost. And clearly, as you know from other examples in the car industry, if you take out weight, in some point there's a question of the cost. To have the lightest robot means also that the price might go up, but you have to find equilibrium between weight, efficiency, pricing, to meet customer demand. Since 2010, we have significantly increased the pace of product launch. And I think the launch of the Quantec family is one particular standard where we did send industry standards and acquired valuable competitive advantage. The clear evidence is that we increased the market share. Also, the experience from Quantec helped us a lot in designing the Argolith, because it's very much modular concept of our product. So the Argolith was conceptually designed out of the Quantec family, and the importance for customers comes from the energy efficiency and clearly the robot speed. Argolith, the name speaks for itself. It's a fast robot. For the Argolith, we have shown it in Automatica. We have since September, the real market launch, sold 400 Agilos in 2012, and we will set to sell more than 2,000 units in 2014. As shown in the past, the market for the small robots, so the Agilos type 6 to 10 robots, is some 20, 25,000 robots. Some people up to 30,000, just assume 25,000. We do have a market share of approximately 15%, so we are talking about some 3,500 additional robots from Agilos, which we did not serve last year in total. So just if you assume some 3,500, takes time 20,000, so we have the assumption of 35,000 for the Quantec, assume 20,000, and then you have an additional revenue potential, which we are going to go for in the next year. I think for us, most important, and you are all invited to the Hannover Fair, which is coming from 8th of April to 11th. We have a big event around our lightweight robot. You see lightweight LBR IVAR. It's innovation, it's intelligent, it's work assistance. So IVAR is the abbreviation of intelligent innovative work assistance. It's our product, which is adding towards the industrial family. You know, Agilos and all the family members on the left side are industrial members, and the lightweight is the addition on the sensitive haptics side, where this product is characterized by safety and sensitivity, which allows functions as for example, that it has a worker together with a robot in the car body doing some functions like fixing seatbelts, fixing different things, and the idea that the robot and the machine works together. And as you have seen last December, we have announced this collaboration with Daimler for exactly working together on man-machine interaction that allows further ways of assembly in the car body, in this body and vibe area. The automation degree is 90% and more. However, in the final assembly and in some assembly of gears, of motors, the degree of automation is much lower, and that's exactly the field where we as KUKA can help. We can work together with Daimler. We can combine both strengths, the innovation power of Daimler with the innovation power of KUKA and the application know-how of both teams. At KUKA, we can use our great internal expertise. On the one hand, the robotic expertise. On the other hand, the application expertise from the automation of our partner systems. And this will allow us to have future applications based on lightweight. And that's a robot where we have, innovation-wise, we have clearly an advantage compared to competition, because this product is today unique. Clearly, people will follow us, but it's a unique product where we can also doing some pioneering in lightweight robot applications. And as you can see on the right side, clearly, there are further robots to come, further robots for specific applications. For example, if we go in niche market or in special, not niche, but in special markets, we can design robots. We have mobile robot solutions. We're working on the medical applications, and we do have new control concepts. Daily controls have to get smaller, has to get lighter. That is the biggest part of KUKA, and it's an important part that KUKA, this small German engineering company, is really setting standards on the robotic automation side. And we do have products, ideas in adding new products, in adding new trends, and that's also part of the KUKA culture. Expected market development 2013. The estimates are generally stable or slightly positive for 2013. The expectations remain high, and the confidence in our most important customers, automotive, is still very positive, and we do not see any big weakness in our order book. ODMR also, as an indicator, shows that 2013 will show a growth of 2%. You could see the number for 2012 was minus 3%, so for 2013, ODMR is much more positive. As you can see, the development in the current year looks like it will be solid. and Puka will profit from this. And our idea that we want to gain further market share in GI and thereby also showing some growth in 2013. Let's go on the details for Puka. We expect to increase our market share further in 2013. Visibility for 2013 is high. As mentioned at the beginning, but also what Peter was mentioned, we had a good start in 2013. We do not see the growth from the last 2 years, it must be also sure. But we have seen that the first quarter will be in the range of 450 million for order intake and also for revenue, which shows a solid basis for 2013. We do have a good order backlog, which shows you on a purely mathematically function something which goes for systems in the second half of the year and which for robotics shows some 3 to 4 months plus the frame contract. So in total, we have a good visibility based on the order backlog. We do not see any weakness in our big customers. We have seen the Great Wall automotive contract, which is an addition, which could be a catalyst where we believe that there could be more automotive business out of China. If I look at more regionally, we do expect that Europe will be flattish. We believe that out US will be a little bit more positive, and we believe that Asia can be a big boost in 2013, given that companies like Great Wall and others will follow, and we'll see that their automation, degree of automation will increase compared to years before. So we see clearly some, we have to follow up the, you know, as you know, we are depending on the investment cycle, not the registration cycle. We do not see weaknesses. We see some delays. However, in total, we have a solid basis for 2013. Stable in Europe, Asia is seeing a stronger growth. As far as profitability is concerned, we see the key development as following. Robotics had been above 10% in 2012 due to increasing R&D expense on the cost. As you could see, we have to invest more in our product. We want to invest more, and also relating costs into our industry expansion. We target an EBIT margin around 10 to 10.5% for robotics. Systems, we are expecting EBIT margin for the full year to exceed 5%, to be above 5%, and that's driven by an improved process management, more favorable procurement conditions. So, for example, we can much more source in low-cost countries. We have today for Europe a stable supply chain out of Romania, for U.S. out of Mexico, and in China, you know, you go in the regions which are less close to the main cities. So we have really favorable procurement conditions. And also, we have an order backlog which shows the good quality and pricing, which will help us, which will really be better in 2013 compared to 2012. For 2013, all in all, we are expecting total revenue because of all this, what you mentioned, the products, the market, revenue of around 1.8 billion Puka for the whole group. Based on this, we also see that the EBIT margin can be around 6.5% for the full year, and therefore that, I think it shows that we expect some growth in Asia. We see some potential, and we believe that the long-term trend of robotic-based automation is solid. We had seen 2 years of tremendous growth in 12 and 11, and we see a great long-term perspective. For 13, we see mainly Asia can help us, Europe flat, and U.S. Some growth. Thank you much so far for your attention. Peter, I am happy for your questions and looking forward to answering questions. Thank you.